Our speaker for this next hour is Brother Kevin Keehan.
There, I want us to look at Genesis chapter 19, verses 1 through 29, in a lesson entitled, How Does God View Homosexual Relationships? Good people, we live in a world that is sin sick. In this, there are all kinds of immoral and unethical, ungodly things that people will participate in. And the thing that I find that a lot of people participate in, the thing that seems to be the big thing that's always out there, are the sins of the flesh. Sexual impurity. In this, we find is that religious leaders, political leaders, and people from all walk of life will engage in these things that God condemns from a sexual sense. In all of this also, we find oftentimes that young people will get involved in relationships, fornication outside of marriage, but then in like figure, we find that couples will engage in adulterous relationships. These things are certainly unauthorized by God, and those who participate in such will stand condemned before Him if they do not repent of these things and be right with Him. But you know, as I think in regard to sins of the flesh, I also think in regard to homosexual relationships. Good people, years ago, we did not have a problem with this. Homosexuality was frowned upon by the majority. Those who participated in such, they were rebuked and they were told that they needed counsel. And indeed, whenever they went for counsel, they were told that indeed this was not right, it was not natural, it was not normal, and they needed to counsel their minds back to a normal way of life. Today, good people, those who participate in homosexuality, they are fighting for full rights and they want us to fully accept them. Today, how does God feel in regard to these individuals? Let us consider Genesis chapter 19. As we consider the background as to all that's going on, good people, we understand concerning Abraham that he left Ur of the Chaldeans. In this, in order for God to bring forth the fulfillment of His redemptive plan, God commanded Abraham to leave his country and to go into a strange land, a land that Abraham himself was unfamiliar with. The Bible identifies for us that Abraham left. He did exactly as our God commanded him to do. He left his homeland. He left his friends and his family. Why did he do these things, good people? Because he trusted in our God. As a result of Abraham's obedience unto God, the Bible identifies for us that God blessed Abraham immensely. How do we know? Because the Bible tells us that Abraham was very rich. He was very well-to-do during the course of his time there in that age. We also understand in the midst of all this that those who went out was Abraham, Sarah, and Lot. The Bible tells us that in the process of time that conflict entered into the picture. In this, the Bible tells us that the land could not contain, could not provide for Abraham and Lot, that is, their people and all of their livestock. In this, then, we understand that strife came between not Abraham and Lot, but rather between their herdsmen. In all of this, we understand that Abraham tried to be the peacemaker. He laid before Lot, he says, if you will go to the left, then I will go to the right, or if you go to the right, then I shall go into the left. In all of this, Lot had laid before him the best of the best that was out there, and Lot considered this, and as he looked upon the plains of Jordan and the lands towards Sodom and Gomorrah, he chose those lands. And the Bible tells us, good people, that he pitched his tent towards Sodom. However, we understand concerning Abraham is that he dwelt in the land of Canaan. At that time, that land did not belong unto him, but rather it was promised unto him and unto his descendants. And ultimately, we know that our God would give him the promise whenever he would continue to do the things that our God commanded of him. After several years, we understand that Sodom and Gomorrah, the people there, had many enemies, and these enemies came in against them in battle. They warred against the people of Sodom and Gomorrah and against their allies. And in all of this, we understand is that the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, many of them fell in that war. And as a result of that, the people came in and they took the goods many of the things that belonged unto the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, but also the Bible tells us that Sot was one that they had taken back with them. Abraham heard concerning Lot's capture, and he took 318 men. And the Bible identifies for us that he brought back the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah as well as he brought back Lot. From that point on, we understand, as is revealed in Scripture, that God was with Abraham and that God continued to make covenants with Abraham and to keep his covenants with this man. Why? Because Abraham was indeed a godly man. Good people, whenever we get into the context of Genesis chapter 18, the Bible identifies for us, though, that God saw the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible reveals unto us that these people were exceedingly evil and wicked, and the things that they were doing, that God looked down upon them, and the things that they were doing, He looked at as an abomination. He was disgusted whenever He considered these people and the sin that they were involved in. The people the Bible identifies for us concerning the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, that whenever these things were revealed unto Abraham and God's intentions to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and Zoar in all of this, Abraham began to plead with God and he said, "Would you destroy the righteous with the wicked?" Isn't that interesting that still today some people will consider that type of a question? Would a loving God truly destroy anyone? And good people, in all of this, what Abraham had in his mind was his concern, his love for Lot and his family. And the Bible identifies unto us that Abraham then begins to plead and to bargain with God. He says, "God, if there is found 50 righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah, would you not spare the cities for the sake of 50 righteous?" And the Lord promised him that if there's 50 righteous there, then by all means, I would spare the cities. Well, Abraham knew within himself that there was not 50 righteous people there, and for that reason he says, "Well, Lord, let's take 5 off of that number. Lord, if there are 45 people there in Sodom and Gomorrah who are righteous, would you not spare the city?" And the Lord told him again, "Yes, if there are 45 found, then by all means I will spare them for the sake of the righteous." But yet Abraham knew within himself that there was not going to be found 45. And he went down to 40, and then 30, and then 20, and then finally 10 righteous. And good people, the Bible identifies for us in all of this, as Abraham pleaded with God out of fear for Lot and for his family, that finally at the close of God's conversation with Abraham, that Abraham went back into his land and the Lord went back into where he was. In the context of all these things, we understand, according to what we learn in Genesis chapter 19, verses 1 and following, that two angels entered into Sodom in the evening. In this, these angels or angelic being, possibly messengers, had been with God during the course of His conversation with Abraham, and now these angels are going into Sodom to gather a report to go back unto our God. In the context, it is revealed that Lot begged with these men to enter into his house. He did not want them living or sleeping out on the streets during the course of the night. Why? Because he knew of the evil that took place out there. He knew of the wickedness that was within the minds as well as within the lives of these individuals. He knew that if these men lived or stayed out on the streets throughout the course of the night, that they were in grave danger. Danger of facing the men of the city. Good people, the Bible tells us that the men of the city, that these angels indeed followed Lot into his home, and during the course of the night that the men of the city surrounded Lot's house. In this, they were pounding on the door. They were shouting out unto Lot to allow the men that had gone in with him to come out into the city that they may know them. Good people, understand, whenever they are saying that they wanted to know them, it wasn't that they had understood that they were strangers who had come into the land and that they were anxious to get to meet them and to welcome them into the city, but rather that word know from the Hebrew language is yada. And in that, it is an intimate relationship that these individuals were wanting to have. More specifically, it was a sexual relationship that they were wanting to engage in with these men who had entered into Lot's house. Somebody says, "Kevin, what are you trying to say?" The Bible brings out for us that these men were practicing homosexuals. these individuals were practicing same-sex relationships, the same type of relationships that many today are advocates of, that many will find themselves wanting to participate in and wanting us to receive them. How did God look at these individuals? Good people, we understand concerning the context here is that first off, the angels dealt with them, and God allowed Lot and those of his household to flee unto the city of Zoar, and in this they took refuge at Zoar, but yet, concerning Sodom and Gomorrah, the Lord destroyed them. Destroyed them so much so, obliterated them, and killed all the people that were found therein. How does God feel about homosexual relationships? Good people, the Bible is very clear that our God condemns those who practice this sinful behavior. Our God does not open up His arms of love and mercy and say, I'll take you however you are. He does not expect even His people to do that. God expects us to be open and honest and to understand exactly how He feels. Somebody says, Kevin, why does God identify these individuals as sinners? Why does God condemn them? Good people, it's plain and simple. Our God never authorized, and nor did He establish, the coming together of those of the same sex. In fact, what do we learn in regard to Scripture? Our God created them male and female. We also understand that He created them man and woman. He wants us to understand the difference between the male and the female and the way in which He has created us, not for one another, male with male, or female with female, but rather the male for the male, the male for the female, and the female for the male. In all this, He also identifies them as husband and wife. Good people, the Bible tells us concerning these individuals how God feels about them. Some people will say, well, Kevin, if God condemns these individuals, then why do they exist? Why do we have such a large group of those who want to practice homosexuality? Good people, in the context of all this, I find it interesting that those who are homosexuals, those of this school of thought, that they will say for themselves that, you know, God created me this way. Or they will say that, you know, it's only natural because I've been born this way. And in their defense of this, then they will contend, surely God will not condemn me because I had no choice in the matter. Let's be honest about it. The truth of the matter is, each and every one of us have choices to make every single day. And you and I make the right choices based out of not just what our mindset might be or based out of what is popular with the world, but rather when we choose to do right, it's because we understand God's Word commands us, directs us according to His righteousness. And if individuals would look at the Scripture, they would come to the same conclusion that you and I do in regard to the Scripture, is that God does not accept those who are homosexuals, but rather that He does condemn them. Why are they there in the world? Why hasn't God dealt with them? Good people, the Bible tells us that certainly in the days in which Sodom and Gomorrah was, the Bible says in the book of Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49 and 50, God says, I took them away as I saw fit. And indeed, there will be a day when God will deal justly with them. Why do they exist? The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1 and verse 24 that God gave them up to practice according to their own fleshly desires. Now somebody says, well, Kevin, doesn't that mean that God accepts them? No, good people, it means simply that God allows them to go and to do however they want to do. And He not only does that with the homosexuals, He does that with anyone who wants to live a life of sin. In other words, God's not going to strike them dead just instantaneously. During the course of this life, there will indeed be a day of vengeance when they will stand before God and God will judge them and sentence them to an eternal condemnation because of their lifestyle. But God will allow them to go about and to do however they want to do now. Well, why does He do that? Good people, I believe in part because He wants to bring them into repentance. God condemns homosexuals because it goes against that which is natural. God speaks of this in Romans chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 concerning those of the Gentile nation. How that they had given themselves up for male to go with male and female to go with female. And He says that this was not natural. Good people, we know that without question it is not natural from a biblical standpoint. Why? Because God created them male and female. He created them woman and man. He says that they are husband and wife. Also, we understand from a social standpoint. If you look back, as we started with this lesson tonight, into the history of this country, our founding fathers looked at those who participated in such, and they said, this is ungodly. This is not natural. It's not normal. But also think of it from a medical standpoint. The male with the male and the female with the female, it doesn't work. The Bible is very clear. And also, if we will use logic and all of the tools that are before us, by all means, we can conclude that this is not only ungodly, but it is not natural. Also, we understand concerning those who participate in same-sex relationships, good people, they are very disgusting. And it's a very dangerous sin. It is disgusting. I was talking with Charlie before the lesson tonight, and we were talking about the lesson, and I said, you know, I do not approve of in any sense whenever men and women will be unfaithful to their mate. That is wrong. But you know, I can halfway understand why it happens. Because of those fleshly desires that are within man and also that can be found within the woman. But you know, I cannot even start to relate with those who go after the same type of mate. Who men go after men or women go after women. To me, that is just disgusting. And not only is that disgusting to us who know better, we understand by the terminology that God uses that it's disgusting to Him. I go back to that word, abomination. God is sickened by their lifestyle. God is sickened by what it is that they participate in and that they're saying that we need to accept them with open arms. But good people, not only is it a sick sin, it is also a very dangerous sin. In our country today, not only are they fighting for rights to be joined together from a legal standpoint, they're also fighting for rights to raise children. And these children will be brought up under that same type of mentality, that same ungodly influence. Yes, indeed, the Bible identifies for us that those who live in a homosexual relationship, that it is indeed disgusting and very dangerous. But also, how does God feel about these individuals? God loves them. God loves the sinner, but know what I state? He hates the sin. And good people, that's the case, that is the truth with every sin. God loves the souls of mankind. How do we know that God loves the souls of mankind? John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Romans chapter 5 verse 7 and 8, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God, He commendeth His love toward us. And know what He says, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. God's love has been demonstrated when Jesus Christ died at Calvary's cross. For who? For the sinner, not for the righteous. Why? Because they're already right before God, and certainly it took the blood of Christ in order to bring that forth. And we need to understand that all those who are in sin and those who practice homosexual relationships, they are in sin. And God loves them. And it's also important for us to realize, as is taught in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, He says that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, not willing that any would perish, but that all would come unto repentance. Is it possible for these individuals who practice this abomination before God, who live in this homosexual, sinful relationship, to turn to God? I want to draw your attention to that scripture that was read a few moments ago in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Paul says, concerning those who will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, homosexuals are amongst that list, as well as fornicators and adulterers. But note what he says, and such were some of you. But they had turned to Christ, and in turning to Christ, by being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins, they had been cleansed, they had been sanctified, and by their changing their life to live according to godliness, to people they were right before God at that given time. What does it require? The same as is taught in the book of Acts chapter 26 and verse 20, that they bear forth fruits worthy of repentance. What's going to be the case if these individuals do not repent? The people the Bible identifies for us that homosexuals, those who continue to live in this type of a lifestyle, as in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, our God will deal with them. These individuals, according to Jude verses 6 through 7 and 2 Peter chapter 2 verses 2 through 6, will stand before God condemned eternally to a devil's hell. As you and I have an opportunity, I spoke this evening before services start with a young man who is visiting with us, and this young man says that he knows some people who are homosexuals, and I know some people, a lot of people, not only here in Tennessee, but elsewhere, who are homosexuals that I don't accept, but rather that we constantly need to be reaching out to and telling them the truth about where they stand with God, as well as to identifying to them the Savior, Jesus Christ, and that God wants so much for them to have salvation that Jesus died at the cross, if they themselves are willing to do what God commands. What does God command us to do? Well, one, He wants us to have faith in Him. And that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And then based out of our 100% belief that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him and that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, we then confess that great confession before man. And we submit ourselves to be baptized into Christ, to be buried with Christ in baptism, to be raised to walk in newness of life.